नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयामुदीरये I've already chanted the 32nd verse of the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the opulence of the Absolute, of Vibhuti Yoga. Today there was a ceremony of Vidyarambha, at the beginning of the education of a little boy who is here. And in this verse, Krishna explains that among all the Vidyas, different sciences, or different branches of knowledge, I am Adhyatma Vidya, or spiritual science. So I will speak about this foundational science, Adhyatma Vidya. Sarganam Adhirantascha
Sarganam Adhirantascha
Sarganam Adhirantascha
Sarganam Adhirantascha
Madhyam Chayavaham Arjuna
Madhyam
chayavaham
Arjuna
Madhyam
chayavaham Arjuna
Adhyatma vidya vidyanam
Adhyatma vidya vidyanam
Adhyatma vidya vidyanam
Adhyatma vidya vidyanam
Vadah pravadatamaham Vadah pravadatamaham Sarganam Adhirantascha
Sarganam Adhirantascha
Madhyam Chayavaham Arjuna
Madhyam Chayavaham
Arjuna Adhyatma Vidya Vidyanam
Adhyatma Vidya Vidyanam
Vadah Pravadatam Aham Sarganam Adhirantascha
Sarganam Adhirantascha
Madhyam Chayavaham Arjuna
Madhyam Chayavaham Arjuna
Adhyatma Vidya Vidyanam
Adhyatma Vidya Vidyanam
Vadah Pravadatam Aham
Vadah Pravadatam
Aham Sarganam
Sarganam
Of all creations
Of all creations
Adihi,
Adihi,
the beginning,
the beginning.
Antaha,
Antaha,
end,
end.
Cha,
Cha,
end,
end.
Madhyam,
Madhyam,
middle,
middle.
Cha,
Cha,
also,
also.
Eva,
Eva,
certainly,
certainly.
Aham,
Aham,
I am,
I am.
Arjuna,
Arjuna,
O Arjun,
O Arjun.
Adhyatma Vidya,
Adhyatma Vidya,
spiritual knowledge,
spiritual knowledge.
Vidyanam,
Vidyanam,
of all education,
of all education.
Vadaha,
Vadaha,
the natural conclusion,
the natural conclusion.
Pravadatam,
Pravadatam,
of arguments,
of arguments.
Aham,
Aham,
I am,
I am.
Translation. Of all creations, I am the beginning and the end, and also the middle, or Arjuna. Of all sciences, I am the spiritual science of the self, and among logicians, I am the conclusive truth. Purport. Among the created manifestations, the first is the creation of the total material elements. As explained before, the cosmic manifestation is created and conducted by Mahavishnu, Garbhadakashaya Vishnu and Kshiradakashaya Vishnu. And then again, it is annihilated by Lord Shiva. Brahma is a secondary creator. All these agents of creation, maintenance and annihilation are incarnations of the material qualities of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, He is the beginning, the middle and the end of all creation. For advanced education, there are various kinds of books of knowledge, such as the Four Vedas, the Six Supplements, the Vedanta Sutra, books of logic, books of religiosity, and the Puranas. So altogether, there are 14 divisions of books of education. Of these, the book which presents Adhyatma Vidya, spiritual knowledge, in particular, the Vedanta Sutra, represents Krishna. Among logicians, there are different kinds of argument, supporting one's argument with evidence, so that supports that also supports the opposing side is called jalpa. Merely trying to defeat one's opponent is called vitanda, but the actual conclusion is called vada. This conclusive truth is a representation of Krishna. Sarganamadi Rantascha Madhyam Chaiva Hamarjuna Adhyatma Vidya Vidyanam Vada Pravadatamaham. Of all creations, I am the beginning and the end, and also the middle, Arjuna. Of all sciences, I am the spiritual science of the self, and among logicians, I am the conclusive truth. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutaya Srimate Bhakti Vinayaka Swami Iti Namini Namaste Sarasvati Deva Bhagavani Mitrasarini Nirvishesha Shunyavi Vashtakya Vyashatari Vaitya Kalpataru Vyashya Kripa Sindhu Vyayata Patitana Pavane Vyo Vishne Vyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Ajanu vambita bujo kanaka sankirtanai kapitaro kamalaya taksha vishambaro vijavaro yugadharma pao vande jagat priyakaro kamana avataro. So, we'll speak today about different kinds of knowledge, which is very important. But first I will give a little review of the 10th chapter. In the 10th chapter, Lord Krishna reveals His all-pervading nature. He says, Aham sarvasya prabhavamata... Oh, no, 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 it's not. Sorry. Yeah. Aham sarvasya prabhava matah sarvam pravartate. He explains in this 10th chapter that everything is coming from me. And he says, matah sarvam pravartate. He repeats this twice in a slightly different way from the grammatical point of view. Meaning that basically he is two principal causes of this creation. Basically he is saying that everything is coming from me. It means that I am the efficient cause of creation. And I am also matah sarvam pravartate. Again, everything is coming from me. It means that I am the material cause of the creation. Everything which you see is God. It's made of God. And it's coming from God. He is the original impetus of this creation. Otherwise, how this wonderful creation came into being? And then the logical question is that from which it is being created. And some religions are being puzzled. What is the stuff of which this creation is made? And Krishna says, that's me again. There is nothing else. In some religions it is said that God has created this world out of nothing. Ex nihilo. you know, just took something dancing, and made something out of nothing. But Krishna says, no, that's me. It's not nothing. It's made of me. Of nothing else but me. And basically, this is the central topic of this 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. It means that we can interact with the Lord, even in this world. We can understand the Lord, even in this world. We can see the Lord, even in this world. And Arjuna, when he realized this truth, and he basically understood that it's not just a human-like figure which is standing in front of him and talking with him as his friend, but this is the original cause of all causes. Someone who has created this whole wonderful creation. When Arjuna realized this, he was overwhelmed. He started praying to the Lord, and he was saying, yes, now I understand who you are. And then he begs Krishna. He says, dear Krishna, please now tell me more about your opulences. In other words, he's asking how I can more clearly see you in this world. How I can understand you by being in this world. By which means I can interact with you. And Krishna starts explaining, the rest of the chapter he is explaining different wonderful creations, saying that I am this, meaning that among all the things which we see, there is something which is foundational. There are so many different things in this world, and it's so bewildering. This world is absolutely bewildering. So much creation is there, you know, so many new things is coming all the time. And yesterday I counted and I understood that there is 84 lakhs of mobile phone models. A 1,400,000. So much creation is there. So many different varieties of different creations are here. So how do you understand the Lord? And he says, just find something which is the most striking, the most wonderful. Like they say that the son of Ukrainian president has mobile phone which cost $80,000 or something like this. So Krishna would say, I am this mobile phone. Among all the varieties of mobile phones, I am this. Basically what he wants to say is that there is something unique in this world. Something out of which everything is secondary. And if you find this, you can really be amazed, overwhelmed by this amazing manifestation. This is actually quite common trait in all the religions. Like in Christianity, it is said that the beginning of your understanding of God manifests from your being able to be surprised by His creation, to be really stricken by His creation. We are being, you know, very dull human beings. Don't really, you know, we take it for granted. So what? You know, oh yeah, I know. Sun is rising every day, so what? But actually, religion means we start appreciating this fact. It's not that natural, after all, that sun is rising every day. And that the sun is shining for thousands of years without being diminished in its power. If you just think about this little fact, we can be totally amazed and overwhelmed. This sun, they say that there is explosion is going on. There is, you know, a lot of explosions is going on in the sun. It's always something is exploding there. But we know that usually explosion, how long it lasts. It lasts just split second, fraction of the second. But sun is being, you know, in the process of explosion for millions of years. And still there is something to be exploded. This is God. This is His power. And Krishna is basically teaching us in this chapter how to be amazed. How to become overwhelmed by these wonders of His creation. Saying that there are so many different things in this world which represent me in particular. He says that there are some foundational things in this world from which you can derive this sense of cause of all causes. Like here he says that of all the creatures, I'm the beginning, the end, and the middle. We see in this world the constant process of creation. Something is being created, something is being maintained, and something is put to an end. Krishna says that I am the ultimate cause of the beginning, the end, and the middle of everything. It's me. I'm behind this. And in particular, in relation to our own life, Krishna is saying that I am the cause of you being here. You, as you are here only because God is there. If there was no God, you would not be here. I swear you. You would not be able to come into being. Because look how wonderful you are. In one little tiny cell of the human body, there is an information for 10 in the power of 15 different cells. In this human body, there is 10 in the power of, am I correct in English? In the power of 15. 10 with 15 zeros. That's many cells are there. Just the cells in our brain. There is 14 billion cells in one brain. And it doesn't really work. because we still don't understand that God is there. So there is around 260 varieties of different cells in this little body, and then some fools are there who say it just came into just by chance. Yeah, there is no cause of this. It's just because I'm so good. That's why I'm here. this is human foolishness. This is how foolish we are. But Krishna says, because you see this orderly process of beginning or the creation, maintenance and destruction in this world, I'm behind it. I am the cause of your appearance in this world, and I am the cause of your death, too. I am the cause of your destruction. So there is nothing to lament. You know, He is the cause. Why should we lament? He is the boss. There is no point of lamenting. And He is saying, just by thinking about this, just by meditating on this simple fact, that there is a very orderly creation in this world, you can understand a lot about God. Like people, they're usually quite rebellious and they don't like the way they're being maintained. They always complain. They always need more. It's never enough. There was one big billionaire, multi-millionaire. He was the richest man of his time. So at the end of his life, somebody asked him, "So now probably you have enough." He said, "No, I want more." So that's my motto. So that's basically manifestation of our dissatisfaction with the way we exist. But Krishna says, that's me, so shut up. Just be satisfied the way you are. You know, I created you and I allotted you what you deserve. Not more and not less. And when your time comes, you will be finished Don't complain about this. This is your time. This is my order behind this. And Krishna says, this is how God manifests here in this world. This is how you can relate to Him. If you know that you are here, not without reason, but because He is here, then you can understand that He is there. And then if you know that you will be finished at one point of time, that also a very good indication that He is there. And then He says, I will go quickly to the third point, and then I will speak a little bit more about the Sadhyatma Vidya. And He says, among all the ways of living argument, which is important, because now, in this particular verse, He is explaining how to get knowledge of Him. Basically, now He says, among everything which we see, there are certain things which can be helpful or beneficial for us to get some glimpse or some knowledge about the Lord. And He says, usually people try to establish truths by arguing. They enter into some argument, and there are different modes of arguing. Some people are doing jalpa. Jalpa basically means you say something really, you know, something foolish, and bewilder your opponent. This is jalpa. you just say something and more and more and more and more. And then there's vitanda. Vitanda, it's just some kind of mean method when you're trying to defeat by different not proper things. But Krishna says there is also vada. Vada means very logical and natural conclusion when you're impartial. When you don't really do it for the sake of arguing or for the sake of establishing yourself as the right person. Usually when we argue, we're not really interested about the truth. The only truth which we're interested in is to establish that I am the right one and everyone else is wrong. And I'm always right because it cannot be otherwise. It's just, that's the way things are in this world. I'm right. So Krishna says, when you have this sense of logic which you use according to the proper usage of logic, when you want to establish the truth, that's me. That's how you should use the logic. Basically He says, if you use whatever you use in the proper context, then only you will be able to get a sense of me, get a glimpse of me. And then He says, vidyanam adhyatma vidya aham. I'm the spiritual science. And that's extremely important, because in this material world there are so many sciences, so many different kinds of vidyas. And even in the Vedic culture there are so many vidyas, this vidya and that vidya. And vidya basically means education, as Prabhupada says, or practical knowledge. Like there is Vastu Vidya, or there is Sarpa Vidya. It's very practical knowledge. By this Sarpa Vidya you can control the snakes. And in India it's quite practical, especially in the rainy season when the snakes are in abundance. So Sarpa Vidya, there is Jyotish Vidya, when you know the astrology, the science of astronomy and astrology. There is also, you know, Vasta Vidya, there is Nada Vidya, the science of music. There are so many different Vidyas. And originally, actually in Krishna book it is said there are 64 Vidyas. 64 different branches of knowledge, which originally in the Vedic culture function quite differently than the Vidyas in the present world. At present, we do learn different sciences, the science of physics, science of medicine, but they're quite gross. All the sciences which we use have very utilitarian purpose. It's just for so-called well-being of the human existence, for the comforts of the bodily comforts of life. All the Vidyas which are there are very, very tamasic in nature at present, because they all related to the body. The purpose of all the Vidyas ultimately is to create more and more comforts for the body. Like people using their unique human brains. They're wasting their life in inventing different kinds of stuff for the body. I saw one advertisement which was really striking. There was this toilet, very beautiful toilet for Karen. Very, you know, so graciously carved. You know, so much brain is there to create this toilet. It was the advertisement for some kind of Swedish toilets. And it was written there, if you want to feel yourself like a king. Buy all toilets. You will sit on a toilet and you feel yourself like you're a king. You're sitting on a throne. So this is what basically Vidya means. This is what people are using their brains for. They are using their brain for creating this kind of environment which is supposedly should make our life better. But in Vedic culture, this Vidya, 64 Vidyas which are described in Srimad Bhagavatam in particular, they are also material in essence. Most of them are material in essence, but they are more subtle by nature. Actually, subtle, более тонкие. They are more subtle in nature because their main purpose is to create not just gross bodily well-being, not just gross physical well-being, but more like subtle mental well-being. Like all these subtle sciences, science of music or science of chess, playing or whatever. This is all to create a very nice mental atmosphere. More or less to create the happiness in the mind. So now we are living in a very gross Kali Yuga type of civilization and this is all forgotten. And we are mostly engrossed or engaged in this gross kind of education. And we think this is all in all. People wasting their life. But Krishna said that foundation of all the sciences is Adhyatma Vidya. And this is the most important science. And all other sciences are useless unless and until you know the science of the soul. The point here is that basically, if you don't know the science of the soul, and the science of the soul is the science, it's not just some belief or religion. It's not by chance it's called Adhyatma Vidya or spiritual science because it has all the basic characteristics of the science. If you open Bhagavad Gita, that's what actually struck me when I first read Bhagavad Gita, that this is totally scientific. And before I read some Bible or this or that, and it was quite impressive for me, but it never impressed me to the exactness of the science. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains the spiritual science with the whole exactness which is there in the science. He says, let's analyze what we see. There is sat and asat. There is something which is real and something which is unreal. And if something is real, it has to be eternal. If something exists, it has to exist all the time. And this is called spirit or soul. And then there is something which is unreal, which is totally, completely, permanently being changed in the process of constant change. This is not really real. And so on and so forth. So he develops the whole science of Bhagavad Gita in a very systematic manner. And if you have some kind of scientific inclination and you read Bhagavad Gita, you will be amazed that this is real science. And Krishna says that every other science make only sense if you know this science. If you don't know this science, every other science will be just a waste of time. You may learn so many different sciences, medicine in particular. You may know all the, you know, different medicines which are there, different diseases which are there. There are so many diseases. But all this stupid little knowledge which you may know, will be wasted because you don't know the very foundation of the science. If you know the foundation of the science, that is the spirit soul, then everything else is related to this, like there is Ayurveda. And Ayurveda, or any other science, like Prabhupada, he mentions in his purport 14 books of knowledge. And in particular, he mentions Smriti Shastra. He says religious books, religious rules and regulations of our daily life, Smriti Shastras. And all the Smriti Shastras which regulate your life very tightly, which say when you should get up from the bed, in which way you should get up from the bed, or whatever. All these little details are there in these books. But they all start from the foundational principle that there is soul, there is God, and there is a relationship between soul and God, and this whole world is created by God. If you take any Smriti Shastra, let's say Manusmriti, the Manusmriti starts from these foundational principles that there is God, and everything is coming from Him. All these little small details which you need to know are only valuable when you know this basic truth. If you don't know this basic truth and you know all these details, ultimately you will be bewildered. But if you know this foundational principle of the science, that there is spirit and everything is coming from spirit, and there is supreme soul, and basically Adhyatma means not just the self or the soul, but this is supreme soul, that there is supreme soul, super soul, and this creation, and the whole creation is coming from Him. If you don't know this, no matter how knowledgeable you are, your life will be wasted. Like there was one very famous Russian scientist who was studying worms, which is a worthy subject of study, as anything else. And this world is created in such a wonderful way that every little thing which you start studying, it's unlimited inside. It's totally unlimited. It's ananta. You take little tiny thing, you know, and you may dedicate your whole life in studying this little piece of this leaf, and you will not come to the end. The whole life will just flash, and you will still be intrigued and amazed what's going on in this little piece of this leaf. So this scientist, he was a big specialist in the worms. In particular in the worms which live in a stool. Somehow or other he had some fascination about these creatures. Probably he was, or if he was not before this creature, he will definitely become one. Because at the time of death he will think about one of those. So somebody asked him, are you not bored by studying this little worm for the whole life? He said, no. The worm is so long and the life is so short. So, basically what he wants to say is that whatever you start studying, if you go deeply into it, you can study and study and study and still will not come to an end. Because this is God's creation. So you may know all these little things, but if you don't know the foundation of everything, from where this worm is coming from, then what is the use? You're just bewildered. You're just totally bewildered. So therefore Krishna says, there is this Adhyatma Vidya, which is the most important Vidya, which everyone should know, and then if you know this, then you can know everything else. And more or less, Vedas say, if you know this science, you know every other science. Like Prabhupada, he was an old man. He was not really up to date with all the, you know, scientific discoveries and everything. And he had some hobby. When he came to the West, he asked his disciples to bring to him different scientists. And they would be very happy to bring some professors, university professors. And Prabhupada started arguing with him. And inevitably, he would defeat them. And Prabhupada was very proud about this. He would say that, look, I know Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, I know all the sciences and I can defeat everyone. Because, again, if you know Bhagavad Gita, you know the principles upon which everything is, else is just derivation. You know, this is very beautifully described in the Vedic sciences. Like in Vedas, there is this science of Ayurveda. And in Ayurveda, again, first thing which you have to know is that there is soul, that your soul, which has nothing to do with the body, and then you have to behave as the soul. And if you behave as the soul, then you can know everything else. And everything else is derived from this. You see, the Amita is such a city. You can basically derive every science in a very proper manner if you know this foundation, that there is spirit, soul, and the life is coming from the spirit. Or as Prabhupada said, life is coming from life. Life is not coming from that matter. Life is a completely different creation, and it's coming from spirit. And spirit is... Prahlad, you're changing mind. So, it's coming from this life, from the spirit, from God. And in the Vedas, there are two particular ways of knowing or studying this Adhyatma Vidya or spiritual science. One is the traditional way, when you study books. You study Vedas, you study different books of knowledge, and in particular you study Bhagavad Gita, or as Prabhupada says, Vedanta Sutra. Vedanta Sutra is a very logical explanation of Upanishads. Basically, when we say Adhyatma Vidya means specifically Upanishads. And in Upanishads, in a very poetic way, the sense of spirit is being transferred. When you read Upanishads, you don't understand anything logically. But you understand certain kind of... You get some feeling that there is one universal underlying principle. This is basically what the spiritual science is all about, to explain or to somehow or other to give us the sense that everything is coming from one source. And there is one principle upon which everything else is based. And this principle is called spirit or Brahman. So this is what Upanishads and Vedanta Sutra explains the same philosophy in a very logical way. But there is another way of getting this sense or this realization of spiritual knowledge, which is also very traditional in the Vedas. This is chanting of the mantras. Basically, the meaning of the scriptures in a very compact and concentrated way is invested into Vedic mantras. And when you chant Vedic mantras, starting with Pranava Omkar. Omkar is the most famous Vedic mantra. Just Om. Om. They said that in this particular sound vibration, the whole knowledge is there. It is explained that Svadhyaya, or studying or understanding this science of the soul, has these two divisions, which are inseparable. Yes, you have to study, you have to understand on the level of knowledge, of logic, on the level of your brain, in a very logical way, what is the soul, what is the spirit, and how it is different from matter. Yes, you have to do this. But the most important realization comes when you chant the mantras. And the meaning of the mantras is very significant, because ultimately this is the meaning of all the scriptures. The meaning of all the mantras is that, like, for example, we chanted before this lecture, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Or, you know, they all start with some bija, and then there is always either Namaha or Svahade. The meaning of all the mantras, which is the essence of Vedic knowledge, which is the essence of spiritual science, is surrender. What is Namaha? Namaha means I'm paying my obeisances. What is Svaha? Svaha means the same. Svaha means that I'm sacrificing my false ego. my false identity. And you know this Jnana Mudra. You perhaps know that there is this most famous Jnana Mudra which yogis do when they chant Pranavamkara. They sit in this lotus posture in Padmasana and they put their fingers in this mudra, which is called Jnana Mudra. They sit straight. But why is it Jnana Mudra? Why this particular position of the fingers is called Jnana? Do you know? Yeah, it's prapati. Because this is the meaning of surrender. This is God. Among the fingers, God is this. He is this big finger. And this is me. You know this. This finger represents my false ego. So, Jnana Mudra means basically that you pass or relinquish the three modes of material nature, tamagun, rajagun, and sattvagun. And you come to the point of bowing down or surrendering to the Supreme Lord. This is called Jnana. This is called spiritual knowledge. This is the essence of spiritual knowledge. The essence of spiritual knowledge is to understand who I am. And who I am? I am eternally subordinate to the Lord. And nothing can change this situation. I am eternally subordinate to Him. And I have to admit this. And when I deny this fact, I am in ignorance. I am situated in avidya. And avidya is the source of endless sufferings for the human beings. Actually, any spiritual science starts from this fact that unless you get the real vidya or real knowledge, you will continue suffering. And the cause of suffering is avidya or ignorance, the less of knowledge. And the less of knowledge is basically denial of this simple fact that I am eternally subordinate to the Lord. And this is the essence of spiritual science. The spiritual science which you can get from reading or understand from reading the literature or from chanting the mantras have to bring you to the point of surrender. Like Krishna says, Sarva Dharma Paritya Mama Kam Saranam Vraja. At the end of Bhagavad Gita, he says so many things. He says, do this and do that. He says, do meditation and sit like this and on this asana and, you know, do this. And if you don't like to do this, you can do something else. He's basically very liberal. Because he knows people are wishy-washy. People are so... they like all this kind of stuff. But at the end he says, Sarva Dharma Paritya Mame Kam Saranam Braja. Come to me and surrender unto me. And this is the essence of all knowledge. And this is the ultimate point which we have to come. If we don't come to this point, we're still in ignorance. And if we are still in ignorance, it means that we will continue suffering. So this spiritual science, which is the beginning of all sciences, the foundation of all sciences, have to bring us to the point of surrender, or to the point of utter humility, when we relinquish our false ego. Now we are very proud. And basically there is nothing to be proud of. I mean, if we look at ourselves, it's so childish when we are proud. You know, like little child is doing something stupid and then he says, look what I did. So in the same way we do something stupid and then we say, look what I did. And everyone is supposed to, you know, give a round of applause or something like this. This is the pride, and pride is foolish. Pride is childish. Pride, again, is a manifestation of our ignorance. And pride is the cause of all our sufferings. All these people who are proud, proud by their beauty, you know, I mean, I will not describe what the material beauty is. No, I will not describe it. Because it's useless. All these ladies on the on the glossy magazines who look like witches. That much cosmetics on their face. I once read the statistic that an average lady eats 40 kilos of lipstick during her lifetime. 40 kilos, not less than this. That's why they become so fat. So this is the beauty, and people being proud of their beauty. You know, what kind of beauty it is? It just lasts for a few months. You know, and then you have to make all these plastic operations to again make it look nice. Other knowledge is also an object of our pride. But what kind of knowledge it is? We don't know anything. We're really bewildered. We're really, you know, we pass some exams and then we forget everything completely after that. And still we have this diploma, you know, I graduated from. We don't remember anything, but diploma is there. Or you are being proud of your belt. I mean, this is ridiculous. What kind of belt? You have some, you know, a pile of papers. This is my belt. And you get some plastic for this, in exchange of this. Papers, some plastic car or plastic something. Really ridiculous. And then people sometimes are proud of their births, you know, very glorious births, you know. Of course, nowadays it's not so much there. Nowadays in India it's better to be a Shudra because at least you can be admitted in the university. Now they are proud that they are Shudras. They can get the admission easily. But this is all ridiculous. This is all childish. And ultimately it will bring about only sufferings, nothing else. And therefore Krishna says, if you want to know me, or if you want to know the essence of life, the meaning of life, you have to know this Adhyatma Vidya. This is the most important, and that's me. If you know spiritual science, which starts from Bhagavad Gita, and which actually extends itself into so many books of spiritual knowledge, and culmination of all these books of spiritual knowledge is Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the commentary on Vedanta Sutra, then you know everything. And the distinguishing factor by which you can say whether you know or don't know, whether you have this knowledge or don't have this knowledge, is only one. Whether you're happy or not. If you are still in ignorance, if you are still in avidya, no matter how much materially you are knowledgeable, you will be not happy. You will be miserable in this world. But if you get this adhyatma vidya, the spiritual knowledge, the manifestation of this is simple. You are happy. You are happy under any circumstances of life. No matter what, you are still happy. Because you know that this is the condition of the soul. And when the soul is released, relieved from this miserable ignorance, which brings sufferings only, then the soul obtains the natural condition, which is happiness. And the soul becomes eternally happy. So, therefore, Krishna says, out of all the knowledge, sciences, kinds of education, I am Adhyatma Vidya, the spiritual science. And today we started Vidyaramba, started the educational process for this little soul which is crawling there, quite ignorantly. But his process or his journey into the spiritual science has started today. So you please bless him, so that he would obtain all the spiritual knowledge which is there and become eternally happy in this world. He's also applauding. The there any question to this?
Yeah.
See, he's already happy. He's already received some spiritual knowledge. Any questions? No questions. Everything is clear. So now you have to either study these books, or if you don't have enough diligence for this, at least chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
And the result will be the same, because the whole knowledge is contained in this mantra. All knowledge is there, because it will bring you to the point of surrender yourself.
You spoke about material knowledge and spiritual knowledge, but when we come to spiritual knowledge, then again people get bewildered, because there are knowledge of various scriptures, various worships and all these things. So how that knowledge can become one-sided, other than getting bewildered again in scripture knowledge or spiritual knowledge? So think that I know, because I already know some scriptures, something out of Vedas or something. How do you come to the terminology of Krishna consciousness? How can people accept Krishna consciousness or something?
Therefore, Sri Padshankaracharya, who is the greatest acharya in India, says in his Gita Mahatmya that there is only one scripture. Ekam Shastram Devaki Putram Gitam. There is only one Shastra. Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam. This Gita, or the song of Devaki Putra, son of Devaki. Eka Deva Devaki Putra Eva. There is only one God. This is Devaki Putra, son of Devaki. Eka Mantra Stasya Namani Yani. There is only one mantra, his name. And there is only one work or karma, there is only one ritual which we have to perform. Tasya Devasya Seva, service to this Supreme Lord. It's simple. Because ultimately knowledge means, and this is explained in 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, knowledge means in sattva guna, sattvic knowledge, or knowledge in goodness, means understanding there is only one cause of all causes. There is only one underlying principle behind everything which we see. And we have to come to this point of ekagrata, or one-pointedness. This is the only means to overcome our problems. Actually, it's very beautifully described by Patanjali Muni in his Yoga Sutras. He describes different problems of human beings. Diseases, bewilderness, all kinds of problems which are there, disturbance in the mind. And he says, you can overcome this just by knowing one thing, that there is only one truth. And devotion to this one truth, when you are completely devoted to this one truth, or one understanding, the understanding of oneness will bring you to the point of knowledge and to the point of relinquishing all your problems. So, when we just study the books for the sake of being proud that I know this book and that book and this book and that book, that's again ignorance. Knowledge means that I come to the point of oneness, and for that I don't need many books. I need just one book. One book is enough. I don't need so many books. If you know Bhagavad Gita, you know everything. If you really know Bhagavad Gita, and if you leave Bhagavad Gita as it is, and even if you don't know Bhagavad Gita, but you surrender to the Lord, you still know everything. So knowledge doesn't mean to know much, or to read many books. Knowledge means to surrender to one truth, which is within your heart. Surrender to this one truth, and truth is only one. It's interesting. that in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, Yajnavalkya is asked, great sage Yajnavalkya is asked, how many gods are there? And he says, 3,003. And then he says, 303. And then he says, 33. And then he says, 10. And then he says, 3. And then he says, 2. And then he says, 1.5. And then he says, 1. So, he's again being asked, how many gods are there? Can you tell us? He said, I already told you. It's 3,000, says 3, 303, 33, 10, 3, 2, 1.5, and 1. It depends on your understanding. If you're in Rajagun, you only know all these differences, and you're totally bewildered. And in this way, you're saying, there are so many gods, and I can choose to whom I should worship. And there are so many scriptures, and I can choose which one I should study. And there are so many different other things, and I can choose what I should do. But if you are in goodness, you understand there is only one God, there is only one truth, and there is only one scripture which manifests this truth. I mean, this truth is manifest in many different ways, in different scriptures. But ultimately, in the whole completeness that manifests here. So why should you go to different scriptures? We will not understand anyway all the scriptures. We will only get bewildered more and more. So. Therefore, Shankaracharya says, Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gita. Be happy. Makes our life simple because it's only 700 verses. We don't have to really get bewildered by all these different statements of different scriptures. Okay. There is no questions? Okay.
What is the best way to convince an ignorant man to believe in God? I mean, best and fastest way.
For ignorant man, there is only one best way to convince him, is just to really hit him on the head. This is the language he understands. And that's usually when and how people start believing God, and something bad happens with them. And God takes his club, and he says, it's too much, I'm sick and tired of this man. Let's work on him. And he's like, yeah. That's the only way. So, you don't believe in God in a nice way. Something bad will happen to you and you will start praying, oh, my dear Lord, I don't know whether you exist or not, but please save me because there's nobody else who can save me. So just in case you're there. Let's do it. Okay. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai. Bhakti Vidyananda Swami Maharaj ki.
Jai.